This is 90.3 WPLN. Good afternoon. I'm Natasha Sinyanovich. The Tennessee Bureau of Investigation says it will look into whether any crimes were committed by Mayor Megan Berry's affair with her former security chief, which was disclosed yesterday. The TBI spokesman says the investigation came at the request of Nashville's district attorney. Glenn Funk wants to know whether Berry, Sergeant Rob Forrest, and others may have engaged in official misconduct or misused public funds, among other possible criminal violations. Forrest officially retired yesterday after 3 decades on the Metro Police Force. He was in charge of Berry's security detail. She says their affair began several months after she took office. Last year, Berry and Forrest took 9 trips together alone, which she says were all work-related.
Absolutely. There were no policies that were violated. Nothing illegal happened. The records will absolutely show that the expenses matched with the overtime expected. But I welcome anybody to take a look at that.
Mayor Berry has apologized for the trust she's undermined because of the affair and said that she will not resign. Meanwhile, the head of the Metro Council Budget Committee tells the Tennessean she, too, is trying to determine whether any aspects of the affair occurred on taxpayers' dime. Using a move often employed by rural Republicans, an urban Democrat is now trying to pass a state law that would supersede city rule. Nashville Representative Harold Jones filed a bill yesterday that would force the city to maintain inpatient services at Nashville General Hospital. The mayor's office has recommended the institution be outpatient only, following numerous budget issues and declining inpatient users. City leaders backed down from that idea a bit after pushback from the community and are now promising to review how best to move forward. But Jones wants it written into state law that Nashville must establish and maintain a public safety net hospital that offers inpatient and outpatient services. Democrats have often criticized their rural Republican counterparts for trying to force state will onto metro areas, including a recent fight over removal of Confederate monuments. It's 2:06. With NPR News in Nashville, this is 90.3 WPLN. Good afternoon. I'm Natasha Sinyanovich. Moments after pleading guilty to felony theft in Nashville's criminal court this morning, Megan Berry made the short trip to the mayor's office. She delivered her last official speech as the city's leader in a press conference that wasn't a total surprise. A growing chorus of voices had been asking her to step down amid 4 probes into the travel and overtime expenses incurred by her former chief of security, with whom she had a 2-year affair. Berry's resignation comes just 2 months before a scheduled referendum on her most ambitious project, a multi-billion-dollar mass transit overhaul. Nevertheless, both sides of the debate over the transportation plan say the referendum should go forward. WPLN's Chas Sisk reports.
Berry started pushing mass transit from her first day in office in 2015. She lobbied state government to allow the 1-cent sales tax increase needed to fund it, and her administration helped develop the plan for 26 miles of corridor. Yet Metro Councilman Jeremy Elrod says it would be a mistake to see the proposal as Berry's plan.
There are hundreds of, I think it's up to 121 organizations that are supporting it now. Thousands of people across the city have signed petitions supporting it. Our traffic isn't getting better.
Which is why Elrod, who backs the transit plan and pushed to put it on the May ballot, does not want to delay the vote now. The main group supporting the proposal, the Transit for Nashville Coalition, doesn't want to wait either, nor does the main opponent, No Tax for Tracks. A spokesman for that organization says they're ready to defeat what they see as a flawed plan. With more than a third of Nashvillians still undecided about the proposal, both sides will be rushing to make their cases over the next 8 weeks, even while the dust is still settling from the Berry scandal. For Nashville Public Radio, I'm Chas Sisk.
Mostly cloudy tonight with lows in the mid-30s. Tomorrow, partly sunny and windy with highs in the mid-40s. 64 degrees at 2:06. This is 90.3 WPLN. Good afternoon. I'm Natasha Sinyanovich. The man who police say gunned down 6 people at an Antioch Waffle House this weekend, killing 4, has been arrested. WPLN's Julieta Martinelli was in Antioch, about 1.5 miles from where Travis Reinking was taken into custody about 1 hour ago.
We're live at the scene at the command center where police have just announced that Travis Reinking has been caught. This is the same exact place where less than 2 hours ago a Metro Police spokesperson said there were no leads and they were planning to expand the perimeter. There's no information yet on how he was caught, but we expect that information will be coming shortly. For Nashville Public Radio, I'm Julieta Martinelli.
Reinking was apprehended in a wooded area a couple miles southwest of the Waffle House following a nearly 36-hour manhunt. Authorities put out a picture of him in the back of a police car. Ryan King was clothed, unlike when he fled the restaurant after being disarmed by a customer. The photo also shows him scratched up and muddy, presumably after spending a day and a half in the woods evading search parties that included FBI agents and SWAT teams. Metro Police have scheduled a press conference on the arrest for this hour. Meanwhile, a prayer service was held this morning at Belmont University in honor of Senior D'Ebony Groves, one of the four people Ryan King murdered. Groves, a Gallatin native, was a Dean's List student just months away from a social work degree. According to the Tennessean, the 21-year-old was also a star basketball player. Police say a friend of hers was also shot and is in critical but stable condition. The other three victims who lost their lives include Aquila da Silva. News Channel 5 reports the 23-year-old rapper and music video producer went by the stage name Natrix and studied musical engineering at MTSU. Da Silva's girlfriend was also shot and was recovering at Vanderbilt Medical Center. The oldest victim, Torian Sanderlin of Goodlettsville, was 29 and worked at the Waffle House. The youngest, Joe Perez, was a customer who was killed outside the restaurant. He was 20 years old. And there is a flash flood warning in effect till around 3:15 this afternoon for Sumner, Davidson, and Robertson counties. This is 90.3 WPLN. Good afternoon. I'm Natasha Sinyanovich. The Tennessee Bureau of Investigation says it has found a video showing some of the events that led to the fatal shooting of a man by a police officer in North Nashville last night. But questions remain about whether 25-year-old Daniel Hambrick was carrying a gun, as well as other key details. The TBI says the video confirms three men were traveling together in a vehicle when Officer Andrew Delkey spotted them in a parking lot near the corner of 17th Avenue North and Joe Johnston Avenue. Police have said that Delkey was following up on a report of stolen cars in the area. According to the TBI, the video seems to show Hambrick getting out of the car and running from Delkey with a, quote, dark-colored object in his hand. The TBI says agents later recovered a handgun at the scene. But it's not yet clear whether the gun belonged to Hambrick or if he had it on him when the officer opened fire several times. TBI spokesman Josh Devine says the agency is also trying to figure out what led Delkey to shoot.
We want to know exactly how did this escalate from this officer reportedly seeing this individual emerge from the vehicle with a firearm to him actually firing his service weapon at this individual. That's very much at the core of our investigation right now.
The TBI says medics transported Hambrick from the scene for treatment, but he died shortly later. No police were injured. TBI did not say where it obtained the video, but it says there are some gaps. Delkey was not wearing a body camera, and his cruiser did not have a dashboard camera, police say. TBI says it's trying to locate additional video. Tennessee's annual tax-free weekend starts today. Items that qualify include computers and tablets under $1,500, clothing under $100, and most school supplies. It does not apply to jewelry, sports equipment, or computers purchased for business use. And yesterday, we misstated that the four acts of clemency by Governor Bill Haslam were his first while in office. Late last year, he exonerated Lawrence McKinney, a man who had been wrongfully convicted. It's 2:06.